about Jesus Christ.
Who remembers me being here 2 years ago? Who liked me 2 years ago? Who likes me now? Oh, okay. We'll work on that. That's okay. I wanted to be here last year. We would have came last year. Last year, about this time, we were planning on a trip to Kenya. And we went to Kenya over in Africa last year. And we had a wonderful time. I might tell you some stories of some things we did last year. We had a good time. But it's good to be back here today. It's hot. Yeah. You remember a couple years ago when I was here and I was preaching and walking all over the place? You remember that? I had to go get a washcloth and keep wiping my face with it. Well, this year I came prepared. We'll call this my hallelujah hanky. Okay? So every time I get preaching and start sweating, my hallelujah. So every time I do this, you go, hallelujah. Okay, can you do that? Can you do that? All right, good deal. So I'll have to wipe a lot of sweat, because if I come down here and start preaching and go like this, it'll sling sweat on you, and I don't want to do that. That would be that would be gross. I brought with me some folks from our church. Some of them are down here for the first time, and we're glad they're here. This year I've got a couple of people that are very special to me. And one of them, 2.5 weeks ago, I turned 46 years old. And the reason why I turned 46 years old is this lady back here smiling from ear to ear. That's my mommy.
All right. Amen.
46 years ago, she was going, ah! That was after I was born. Not during. That was after I was born. And I was born. He says I'm from St. Louis. That's kind of not right. I was born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Yeah, but I lost the accent. Okay? Hallelujah, okay? You guys catch on pretty good. You're sharp. Let's see if you're that smart when I open the Bible up, all right? And then 37 years ago, either last week or this week, 37 years ago, I was standing next to her at the Missouri Free Will Baptist Youth Camp on a Monday night. And the preacher preached, and I was under conviction. I was 9 years old, and I was under conviction. And they were giving the altar call. And I looked up at my mom, and I said, Mom, can I get saved? And she said, yes! And we went to an altar. She and I went to an altar. And I don't remember who the preacher was, and I don't remember what he said. But I remember I prayed that sinner's prayer, and I asked God to forgive my sins. It was at a place just like this. In fact, I like this camp, because this is like what I used to know back years ago. Hot, sweaty, but Jesus was with us. Can I hear you say? And crickets and cicadas and everything else. But I asked Jesus into my heart right then and there. I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. I just believed that it was right. I didn't know that God was going to call me to preach. I didn't know that God was going to call me to pastor a church. I didn't know anything but what God was going to do. But I knew that I did not want to go where? Back home, because it was the beginning of the... No, I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven when I died. And I didn't know a whole lot of the Bible, but I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and wash me clean. Can I tell you that He's been doing that now for 37 years? Jesus has been forgiving my sins and washing me clean. Can I hear some old people say amen? That's what He's been doing. And then... Two and a half weeks, 3 weeks, something like that from now. I stood with this lady back, no, not the blonde, next to her, back here. This is who I call Sweetie Pie. That's, aww. Hallelujah. Okay? This is my, we will be married 25 years, July 10th. We spent our 24th anniversary in a little church out in western Kenya. It looked about like this. Okay, this was their regular church, Brother Brian. And we had such a good time out there. But she's been with me for 25 years. And I didn't know that I was going to marry... Yeah, bless her heart. Okay? I'll give her the hanky. Amen. Okay? He's good. I like him. I like him tonight. Thursday night, I won't like him a whole lot. All right? But anyway, she'd been with me 25 years, and I didn't know that I was going to marry her. We actually was going to the same church together when we were teenagers. Okay? And I didn't know I was going to marry her. I didn't know who God had for me. And then one day, I called her. And we went out, and we got married, and we've been happy ever since, and God has blessed us, and I'm glad that she and my mom get to be here, and we have my daughter and my granddaughter, and I got another granddaughter on the way, and I have three grandchildren. I have one of them here tonight. She's very loud, like her grandpa. And I have another one, in fact, two more that's in heaven already. And you know what? I'm glad that one of these days I have a place to go to where all my grandchildren and my children are going to be there in the same place. Can I hear you say amen? Thereby bring a Bible tonight. If you know anything about me, you know I like this book. Where's, yeah, if you don't bring a Bible tomorrow night, I'm going to come right over to you and preach. Just so, I know that's okay. We'll get you one, okay? We'll preach to you. I went out to Kenya last year, and those people didn't have a Bible. I went out there, and I'll tell you what I found out, brother, is I found out there's a bunch of lying preachers over in Kenya just like there are in America. And they can lie to them and get away with it. You know why? They don't have a Bible. And every place I went, I said, I asked those people, if I sent you a Bible from America, would you read it? Hands went up everywhere, and I said, and we did. We sent, I don't know how many Bibles we've sent to Kenya, and we're still sending them over there. If I can't go back to Kenya, which we're going to try to next year, if I can't go back to Kenya, the Word of God can go to Kenya, and God can do the preaching over there better than I can. And so tonight, you consider yourself blessed to live in a country where there's Bibles all over the place. And I'll tell you this, you young people, consider yourself blessed that you still live in an area where you've got some good preachers here that still preach the old King James Bible. Because I had to come all the way from nearly St. Louis, Missouri, all the way down here. We drove past the Missouri camp where I got saved because I won't go back anymore because they won't preach out of this book anymore. I drove past it and came down here. So let's start bringing a Bible to the house of God tonight. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Where am I going to preach tonight? You know, I fought this all the way down here. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm going to preach. I don't know who's down there. I don't know where my notes are. Here they are. You're lucky. I was going to start Genesis and work to it till I found it. All right. Take your Bible. You got a Bible? Looks like this. Turn to Exodus chapter 25. Let's start there. Exodus chapter 25. Hurry up. You turn fast and I won't lie. You just turn fast and I'll preach. All right? Exodus chapter 25. Got it? Hallelujah. Okay? Exodus 25. Let me know. You say hallelujah when you get there.
Hallelujah.
I'm waiting on the rest of you now. Exodus 25. And by the way, if you're here and you don't have a King James Bible, I will make sure that either we get you one or one of these other churches get you a King James Bible. Okay? And you'll, if maybe by the end of the week, you'll know why I keep saying King James Bible. If you're not familiar with me. Because I've looked at other Bibles. And there's some things I might preach this week that if I didn't have a King James Bible, I couldn't preach them. Okay? Amen? Because there's stuff not in there. Exodus 25, are you there? Say amen. We're gonna learn this. We're gonna like go to school. We're gonna read stuff that you don't normally want to read in the Bible. Okay? But we're gonna read them anyway. Exodus 25, verse 10. Look at verse 10. Now, let me get this out of the way. How many of you think you're already big and grown up and can act right? How many of you think you boys right here, you think you can do that? Can you handle it? Okay? Because there's a word in this verse that sounds like a word that you're not supposed to say, and they're not related. Okay? And so when I say this word, I don't want you to go... Can we do that? Can we do that? Okay, just... All right. Exodus 25, verse 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. Okay? Okay? They shall make an ark of shittim. Let me tell you what kind of wood that is. Okay? They call it now, in fact, if you go to the Middle East, in fact, we saw them in Kenya. If you go over there, they have these trees, and you've probably seen pictures of Africa. They have these kind of funny looking trees. You don't have them a lot around here, but they call them acacia trees now. That's what they're called now. You know what acacia trees are? You know what shittim trees are? They're trees. They're thorn trees. We used to call them sticker bushes when I was growing up. I used to love to play in the woods, and we'd play in the woods a lot. We'd have to stay away from the sticker trees and the sticker bushes. But they're thorn trees is what they are. And this particular wood, God chose this particular wood. He didn't say oak. He didn't say cypress. He didn't say persimmon. He didn't say cedar. He didn't say anything else. He chose this particular tree and this particular wood. Because years later, a man by the name of Jesus Christ was going to go hang on a cross, and he was going to die for our sins. And the thing that he was wearing on his head was not a ball cap. It was not a chef's hat. It was not a football helmet. What he was wearing on his head was thorns from the shittim tree. A crown of thorns from this particular tree. If I get time this week, and if the Lord leads, I may talk about that this week. But that's interesting to me. So they make an ark out of this particular wood. So let's follow this so far. And I'm going to try to move ahead because I got a lot to do. All right? They shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a breadth, cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without thou shalt overlay it. And thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold on it. Now I'm going to explain this here in a minute. Thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, 2 rings on the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood. Who knows what a stave is? What's a stave? Yes, sir. It's a staff. The word stave and staff and rod are basically the same thing. So there's 2 long poles that they're going to make. Then it says, thou shalt make 2 staves out of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. I want you to think about this, because this is kind of where I'm going tonight. Thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. I want everybody to think about that phrase, they shall not be taken from it. I want you to think about that. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. I need 4 young men to be volunteers. Anybody whose hand is not raised. How about you? You want to help me? You want to help me? Come here. How about... You want to help? You want to help? You want to help? You want to help? You're dying to help, aren't you? I know. You just keep dying, all right? Come here, guys. Come here, guys. I want you right here. And I want you right here. You there. And you there. Give them a hand. They look good, don't they? Okay, now let's see how good you guys are. Now, these are 4 Levite priests. Okay, these are the priests of the tabernacle of God. Remember when the Israelites left Egypt, right? They were 40 years in the wilderness trying to get to the promised land, and they had to carry everything with them. Okay, and they had a tabernacle kind of like this. We call this a tabernacle. They had a tent where they worshiped, where the worship of God took place. Okay? And the Levites were responsible for that tent. They were responsible for everything in there. Okay? Now, and I got some other places we're going to go here in a little bit. But I want you to think about, I want you to see this and how this was done. These 4 Levite priests here had one job. And that job was to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I didn't have two poles. I was going to steal some mops and brooms from the kitchen. I didn't want to do that. But we're going to play like these guys are Levite priests. And so, guys, I want you to pick that chair up. Oh, come on, you have to do better than that. How many legs does it have? Looky there. We only need you on one leg. Okay? So here's how it worked. Okay? These guys were going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. So I want you to kind of walk down to that fella down there and turn around and come back. Can you do that? Look at him marching. All right. Now, here's what I'm going to show you. Okay, come back. Come back. Yeah, I'm sure the Levites did that. Years before they burned rubber, you had Levite priests going, and then they had to go. All right, now, set it down for a second. All right, let's say, I didn't say leave. I said set it down for a second, okay? Let's act like this is my house. This is my house. These are my sons, my servants. Okay? If this is my house and these are my servants, whose chair is this? This is my chair. Okay? Now, the Ark of the Covenant was known as the mercy seat of Almighty God. When God visited with the Israelites, He came into a very special place of the tabernacle called the Most Holy Place. Nobody was ever allowed in there. But God would come in the form of a cloud, and He would be on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? So, in fact, I'm going to do this. This is my Bible. Okay? This is Christ right here. You believe that?
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word,
Amen.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So I'm going to show you how this works. Boys, pick the seat up. Okay? When the Ark was carried, it was bringing forth, let's say that you wanted God to come visit you. You wanted God to be real to you. You wanted God to visit with you and talk to you. You wanted God to forgive your sins. This, I'm showing you, this is how God is going to do it. Let's go to this young lady right here in the pink. Okay? This is how He's going to do it. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to make sense of this here in just a little bit. This is how, stop right here, thank you. Okay? This is how God works His work in her life. If I were to ask you a question tonight, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Would you like to die tonight? Okay, that's perfectly normal. Okay? But if you want to go to heaven, I'm telling you, there is one way for you to get there. One way. Did you know that at one time, David, King David, wanted the Ark of the Covenant brought to him in Jerusalem? Do you know what he did? He had some boys loaded up on a cart, and two oxes were pulling it, and a guy died. Because that was not the right way that you bring in the Ark of the Covenant with the Word of the Testimony on it. You don't do it that way. Are you getting my point here? Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. Give these guys a hand. I'm going to leave that there because I can tell you right now I may be sitting on it here before too long. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus 25. Exodus 25, verse 23. So we have an ark. We have an ark. Shh. Let me preach now. We have an ark made out of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. We have four priests that are going to carry it. And there are two staves that they use. They run the poles through these rings on the ark, and they pick the poles up and they carry it on those two poles. Okay? Verse 23. Look at this. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and so on and so on. And I want you to look at verse 26. Thou shalt make for it the four rings of gold, and put the rings in the four corners that are on the 4 feet thereof, over against the border. Shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table? So they had a table as well. And the table went in the tabernacle. And you know what was on the table? It also was made of shittim wood. It was overlaid with gold, had four rings on it, and it had two poles on it for it to be carried around. Do you know what was on the table? Every day, priests would get up early in the morning and they would bake 12 loaves of fresh hot bread. Or 12 fresh Krispy Kreme donuts. Have you ever had those right out of the fryer? Oh, that's good. Who in here likes fresh baked homemade bread? Raise your hand. On that table was 12 fresh baked loaves of bread. And when the table was to be moved, four Levite priests took the two poles, put it on their shoulders, and they walked with it. Does everybody follow me so far? Okay? Now take your Bible, turn over to Exodus 27. Exodus 27. Verse 1. Thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. And I want you to notice that it had four corners in verse 2. In verse 3, thou shalt make pans to receive his ashes on this particular altar. It also was made of shittim wood. It was overlaid with gold. It had four rings on it, two staves, two poles, carried around. And this altar, you know what they would do with this altar? It mentioned a pan for ashes. I mean, you'd have to take the ash pan out in wintertime. You know what I'm talking about. This altar was an altar of sacrifice. They would take a goat or a lamb or an ox, and they would cut it in pieces, and they would lay the pieces on this same with firewood, and they would light it a fire, and they would burn this sacrifice. Now I'm going to explain to you what this means in a little bit. But when they carried this altar, they didn't just use a forklift, throw it up in the back of an ox cart, and take off with it. God had a specific way. There was one way this was to be done. God's law cannot be violated. Four rings, four priests, picking up two rods, carrying it on their shoulders, and when they went to the next place, they carried it just like that. One more, and I'm almost done. Look down in Exodus chapter 30. Turn there. Exodus chapter 30. Verse 1. Thank you very much. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense on. It was made of shittim wood. It was overlaid with gold. In verse 3, verse 4, look at it again. Two golden rings shalt thou make it to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it thou shalt make it, and they shall be places for the staves to bear withal, and thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. So then they had an altar of it. They had an altar of burnt sacrifice, which was out just right outside the tabernacle. And then right up close there, right in the tabernacle, they had an altar that wasn't for putting bullets on or lambs or goats or anything like that. They had an altar that they... Who's in here has ever smelled incense? Incense. You know what it is? Okay? Who in here has ever had one of the... What we used to call them, punks, to light your firecrackers with? Ah, now that gets you. Okay? Well, nowadays you can buy those punks. I don't know what y'all call them. Okay? The punks? Okay. You can buy punks that have aromatics in them as you burn them. And people will light them and they smell their house up and everybody's all... Now we use potpourri or Glade Fresh. Okay? But this was incense. And what they would do is they would light it. It would be very slow burning. And instead of there being just this big flame, there would be this smoke that would... Which way does smoke go? Smoke goes up. Which, everybody now point to the direction that God is in right now. What direction is God? So when the smoke goes up, it's going where? To God. I'm going to tell you what that incense represents in a minute. So we have four things. We have the Ark of the Covenant. It was to be carried by four priests, two staves, two rods, two staffs, two poles. No other way. We had the altar of burnt offering. When it was carried, four priests, two poles. Okay? When we had the table of showbread, fresh baked bread every day, 12 loaves. one for each tribe of Israel. Or let's say one for the apostles, because we're still eating fresh baked bread today through the Bibles. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
And so anyway, four rings, four guys, two poles. And then we have the altar of incense. Four Levite priests, four rings, two poles. There was no other way that these things were to be carried or moved. If they were to be moved or touched any other way, somebody was going to die. That's how serious God is. Now, I prayed all the way down. Now, I've been praying about this camp. God, I don't know what to preach to these people. What I want to do is come down here and cut up, act goofy, and make all you guys smile. Oh, he's so funny. I like Brother Mike. And act like a clown. I don't know how to do this any other way than to just preach to you. And I'm not going to act like, because you're 8 or 9 years old, that you're stupid. Is that good?
Yep.
I'm going to treat you like you're smart. And I'm going to help make you smarter. Can I do that?
Yes.
Okay? So we got the Ark of the Covenant, God's throne. We've got the table of showbread. We've got the altar of burnt offering. And we have the altar of incense. How many guys carried it? How many rings? How many poles?
Two.
Let me explain this, what this is. Okay? Because I study the Bible and I like to see numbers like this. Where's my four guys? Stand up. The four carriers. Okay? Let me tell you what these guys represent. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many of you know what I just said?
Matthew,
Mark, Luke, and John. Where are those in your Bible? They're at the very beginning of the New Testament of the Bible. And what do the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us? What story does it tell? What story does it tell? The story of Jesus, and He died on a cross, and what happened 3 days later? He rose again from the dead, and then He went into heaven, and right now, when we pray to God, guess who takes the prayer and gives it to God? Jesus Christ. It's not the Virgin Mary. Amen? It's not the Pope. It's not Pastor Bill. It's not anybody. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved, which means you're not going to die and go to hell. That's what somebody asked me in an email the other day. Pastor Mike, what does the word salvation mean? I said, let me make this real simple. It means you're going to hell and you don't want to go to hell. And you said, God, save me! And God went like that and saved you, and you're not going to hell when you die. If I were to ask you the question tonight, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but if I were to ask you the question tonight, who in here wants to go to heaven when they die? I hope that everybody in here would raise their hand. If I were to ask the question, who does not want to go to hell when they die? I hope that everybody would raise their hand that they did not want to go to hell when they died. And I'm here to tell you, young people, there's only one way. There is only one way. And I'm going to illustrate this through the Scriptures. I'm going to show you what all this means. Take your Bible. Take your Bibles now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. We're going to talk very quickly about the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings, the table of showbread, the Ark of the Covenant. You pray for me, all right? I've got to preach every night this week. I've got to leave here, go Saturday morning out to Fort Smith, Arkansas, preach Saturday morning out there. Then I got to drive home and preach Sunday morning. A couple years ago when I left out of here, I was talking like this. I sounded like Gonzo from the Muppets. So you pray for me that I'll have just a little bit of voice left when I get home. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Who's got it? Hold your Bible up. Do like this. I got it in my Bible. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not, listen to this now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Who in here wants to know how to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Who in here wants to know how to deal with problems in your life? Raise your hand. Who in here wants to know what kind of things you can listen to and what kind of things you probably shouldn't listen to? There went your hands. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Do you really care about the kind of life that you live? Do you really care? I got it halfway figured that probably a lot of you care, you wouldn't be here. And I hope that before tonight's out, I hope that before the week's over with, you walk out of here with just a little bit of concern about how the rest of your life takes shape. Because let me tell you something. The devil right now is as strong or stronger than I've ever seen him in my entire life. He's moving in to churches all over this country. He's moving it. He's already got the governments of this world. He's moving into the churches and he's moving into the homes and he's going after children. He is going after you guys. I can look back in my childhood and my mom took me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Does that sound familiar? I grew up, my mom took me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You would think, and I heard good preaching. I heard good King James Bible preaching. Preaching against sin. Preaching against this. Preaching against that. Heard it all. Grew up teen leader in the church. Heard it all. Heard all the preaching. Amen to messages. Went to camp. Twice a year I'd go to camp just for the fun of it. Man, I love camp. Amen to preacher. Boy, I tell you, I wanted to be that. Do you think that that kept the devil away from me when I was a child? No. He always found a way in. And if you're sitting here tonight and God's trying to deal with you, the Holy Ghost is trying to talk to you and the Holy Ghost is trying to deal with you, I guarantee you the devil is working on a plan right now to take your life away. So that 20 years from now, you hate church, want nothing to do with it, and you'll never go back. Am I telling the truth?
That's the truth. Amen.
That's what he's doing. He's going to work on you guys. Let me get where I'm going with this. Let me explain this here. I want us to look in verse 16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let me run through this very quickly. And let me show you what all this that I laid out here for you was. This seat, as I said, represented the mercy seat of Almighty God. It represented the throne of God. And I mentioned a while ago that if this is my house and these are my servants, whose chair is this? This is my chair. So if this is the house of God and we're to be the servants of God, whose chair is this supposed to be? This is supposed to be God's chair. You know what that is? That's His throne. That means that God wants to be in charge of the tabernacle of your life. Your body, your mind, your life, your character, everything that is about you is supposed to be the tabernacle of God. God is supposed to be reigning in your life and in charge of your life. That's what's supposed to be. But who else wants to sit in that chair? The devil. He wants to rule over your life. And by the way, God, if God sits in your throne and He wants to take you where? Where does God want to take you?
Heaven.
If the devil sits there, where is he going to take you? We already said we don't want to go there. So there's one way that you can avoid all this. And let me run through this very quickly. Let's talk about that altar of incense for a minute. Revelation chapter 8, the Bible teaches that the altar of incense represented... Remember I said that smoke goes what direction? Where's God? So the smoke goes to God. You know what that's a picture of according to the book of Revelation? The altar of incense was a picture of you when you prayed. And when you pray, what direction does your prayer go? To who? God. I don't think there's anybody here that ever got down on their face and said, "Oh devil, give me $1 million. You didn't do that, brother, did you? No, sir. Okay? So I want you to think about this. That altar of incense represents your prayers. It represents, and what do we pray for? The Bible talks about prayer and supplication. You know what supplication is? You know what the word supplication means? You know, you ever heard of the word supply? Supply. Like if you run out of bubble gum, right? You run out of bubble gum, okay? And you need more, and your mom has a purse with what in it? Gum. So you go to your mom, and you know better than to just reach in mama's purse, right? Get your hand cut off for that. So what do? Mama, can I have some bubble gum? Sure, son, I love you. She'll give you bubble gum. It's a nice mom, isn't it? Okay? Supplications are things in life. Listen to this now. Supplications are things in this life that we need. And things in life that you need, you go to God to get them. God, I need friends that will like me. Did you know that you can go out to the world and find, and the devil can give you all kinds of friends that for a while will like you? What will be the result of that in the end? They will despise you, they will use you, and they will drop you like a hot potato. When you go to God and say, "God, I need friends. God, I need people that hang around. God, I need people that go to church. I need young men and young women that won't lead me the wrong way. God, I need that." God will give you friends. Amen. That you pray and you ask God for things that you need. Let me ask you, how many of you want to go to heaven? Again, do you want to go to heaven? Amen. Are you going to go just because you want to go? You've got to ask. And those two, I didn't tell you this, those two staves, those two rods, that all that was carried around on, represent what he's holding in his hand right here. You can see that, Brother Brian. The two staves represent the Old and the New Testament of the Bible. And here's what this is. These four priests, the Bible is bringing to you a life to teach you how to pray. To teach you how to pray. To teach you when you get into a situation in life, young man, listen to me. When you get into a situation in life where you've done things that are wrong and you're about to be caught. Know what I'm talking about? You've done things in life and you're fixing to get caught with it. And you're fixing to be in major trouble. And you don't know of any way out. How do I know? God knows. God knows what you've done. And He knows what you've got planned. He knows what you've done and what you've got planned. He knows those things. And you're going to get into a situation in life, and some of you sitting here already know this. You're going to get into a situation in life where you cannot fix your own problems and you cannot bail yourself out of the mess that you've got yourself into. And you'll be thankful that a Bible taught you to get on your face before God and say, "God, please help me."
Amen.
Worst whipping I ever got in my life was I got into it with a boy down the street, and we crawled up in his treehouse and lit it on fire and jumped out of there with our lives. And the boy's mama had to call the fire department, had to come out, shh, the tree. And I went home, and mom wasn't there. She was at a family in our church helping them move. And my sister, bless, how many of you got an older sister? My older sister called my mom and said, "Mom, Mike's burnt the treehouse down." My mom got on the phone and she said, "Son, you better go in your room and you better pray, because I'm going to deal with you when I get home."
Oh no!
And she hugged, "Listen to me, this boy's listen to me." And I had to go and I had to wait, Brian, all day long on that whipping. That's the worst whipping in the world, when you got to wait for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you listen to me. You boys are going to get into a position one of these days where God's going to nail you over what you've been doing. Your mom and dad can't keep up with every sin and every crime you commit. Your mom and dad can't know everything that's going on in your life, but God knows about it. And He's going to come grab you one of these days, and you're fixing to be in it.
That's right.
And you know what you're going to be thankful for? That there was a Bible that taught you how to lift incense up to the Lord and taught you how to pray and say, "God, please help me." Are you with me, ladies? Same thing for you. You're fixing to be in a situation in life that you didn't ever think you were going to be in. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care if you're homeschooled, public schooled. I don't care. Go to Christian school. Doesn't matter. You're going to be in a situation in life where you're going to be thankful that there was a Bible that taught you how to lift up a prayer to God. Because you're going to be in a situation where only God can save you and only God can help you. Can I hear somebody say amen? That's what the incense was all about. Burnt offerings. The altar of burnt offerings. The goats and the lambs and the goats, they represented sacrifices for sin. But there's a deeper thing to it, and I don't want to get into it tonight. But let's look at it this way. Just about every sermon I've ever heard preached on sacrifices is always about putting money in the plate. Oh, you got to give sacrificially. Oh, you got to give until it hurts. Oh, you got to give, brother, until you ain't got no more money. Okay? That's not what sacrifice is. The Bible talks about, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, which is your reasonable service." You know what a sacrifice was all about? Especially when it comes to sacrificing you? It has everything to do with sinful nature and sinful desires. Who in here has a sinful nature and sinful desires? Raise your hand and raise it up high. I will be the first to raise my hand. Somebody told you not to lie, you lie. Somebody told you not to steal, you steal. Somebody told you not to look at that, you looked at that. Somebody told you not to go there, that's where you wanted to go. It just seems like if you want children, I've tried this on my kids. I tried to get it work. I tried to say, whatever you do, kids, whatever you do, girls, do not go in there and clean that room up. Because it just seems like what you tell them not to do, that's what you want to do. Am I right? Here's cookies. Whatever you do, don't eat these cookies. See? When you read the Bible, hey, listen. When you read the Bible, or when you listen to Sunday school teachers teach, or you listen to preachers preach who have preached that Bible, you know what you'll learn? You'll learn about things in your life that are not right, that you need to sacrifice on the altar of God and let God have them. You'll learn about things that you think are okay. You'll learn about things that you think are right. You'll learn about things that you want to justify. And when that Bible's taught, and when you read that Bible, when that Bible's preached, all of a sudden God starts dealing with you about things that He wants you. And you know what you do? We come down, we get under conviction, and where do we go? We go to the altar. And we say, "God, I don't want to listen to that kind of music. No, God, I don't want to listen to country music anymore on the radio. God, that's wrong. God, I don't want to get Redbox movies anymore. God, I don't want to play those video games anymore. They've got dragons and they've got wizards in them." I might talk about that this week. Make some of you mad. God, I don't want to be around those girls anymore. They talk dirty. So you know what you do, young ladies? The Bible is driving that conviction home in you, and you come to the altar one day and say, God, because God taught you how to pray, and you come down to the altar one day and say, God, I'm going to take my worldly friends and lay them on the altar, and you can have them. That's what a sacrifice is.
Amen.
God, my favorite TV show, where they show people in bed, and they say dirty words, and there's drinking liquor all the time, I don't want to watch that show anymore, but I like it. God, I want you to take it from me. So you come down to an altar and you lay it on the altar and say, God, burn it up. It's no good. I don't want it anymore. Make it so it doesn't exist anymore. And that's what God will do for you. And the only way that happens is with that Bible right there. Let me tell you about some of the preachers that are out there. Some of the preachers out there right now will tell you that it's okay for you to go to dances. They'll tell you it's okay to drink liquor. They'll tell you it's okay to shack up. In fact, some of them out there tell you that it's okay for boys to be kissing on boys and girls to be kissing on boys. Are they out there?
They are.
That's what they'll tell you. And the only way that you'll have things in life good and straight and know what to give up is through that Bible.
Amen.
Are you with me tonight? Say amen. Table of showbread represented the fresh baked bread, and the bread represents the Bible, Jesus Christ. That Bible should be in your life and part of your life every day. Now, if you can't read 20 chapters of the Bible a day, don't feel bad. I can't either. In fact, I'll be honest with you, you know how I read the Bible? I like to get a little word search program up, and I look at one word, and I just study it through the whole Bible. Somebody's asked me, Pastor Mike, how many times have you read the Bible through it? I don't know. I'm sure I have, but I just read the Bible. One place here, did you know the Bible says here a little, and there a little? And that Bible is your life. It's to be the guidepost of your life. And let me finish up with this. Okay? The mercy seat. The mercy seat. Everybody in here is a sinner. Brother Brian is. Okay? I know Brother Dwayne Genero is. I like him. He's a sinner. You know this young lady here? I like her. You know she's a sinner, aren't you? Done things wrong, haven't you? Okay? Got caught with them, didn't you? Some of them. Some of them we get caught with, some of them we don't. And we think we got away with it, and yet God was watching.
Yes, He was.
Let me tell you what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned, and you've sinned. And I want to tell you boys something. You listen to me right now. If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ in your life, and you're not born again and saved, if you've not asked Jesus into your heart, you will die and go to hell one of these days. And I'll preach it to you, and I'll preach it to you, and I'll preach it to you. And if you think I come down here to play games with your soul, you're crazy. I will point to each and every one of you and tell you that if you die in your sins, you will go to hell. One day or another, that's where you're going. Let me tell you where I'm getting at with this Bible. This Bible will tell you the two staves, the four priests, that tells you that there is only one way to go to heaven. You will not go to heaven because your mom and dad go to church.
That's right.
You will not go to heaven because your dad is a deacon and your mom's a Sunday school teacher.
That's right.
You will not go to heaven because you had 5 straight years of Sunday school attendance and you got a pen.
Right.
You will not go to heaven because your mom and dad sit on the board. You will not go to heaven, and you can ask my girl, you will not go to heaven just because your dad's a preacher. You will not go to heaven that way. There's only one way. I don't care if you go to Sunday school, you go to church. I don't care what you do. Because going to heaven is not about what you do. Can I get an amen from somebody? If going to heaven was about what we did, then none of us in this room would qualify to go to heaven.
That's right.
Can I tell you what the Bible says about doing good? I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be mean to you all week. Because I think because you came to Bible camp, I think you're pretty good kids. I really do. Okay, so I mean, I got a high opinion of you. You're the ones that are here. There's 10,000 kids out there that probably could have come that didn't come, and you're the ones that are here. So I think you're pretty good kids. Did you know what the Bible says about doing good deeds? It's in Ezekiel chapter 33, and I'm going to challenge you this week. You write this down. Those of you taking notes, Ezekiel 33, I want you to find this doctrine. For days and for weeks. And she saw a quarter on the coffee table in her house. Her dad had just set that down there and went to go get something. And she just walked by there and she saw that quarter. And she looked at it. And she picked it up and stuck it in her pocket and went to her room and then put it in her bank. That's wrong, isn't it? You didn't do that, did you, Sophie? No, of course not. You're good. Let me tell you what Ezekiel 33 says. It doesn't matter how many right things you've done. The very moment you do one wrong thing, every right thing you've ever done is wiped away. Every one of them. If she does 100 right things in a week and does one wrong thing, all 100 are wiped away. It's as if they've never happened. That is in Ezekiel 33, and I want you to find it. And one day this week, just come running up with your Bible. Is this it, Pastor Mike? And I'll tell you if that's it or not. Can you do that? Can you boys do that? Okay? Remember Ezekiel 33. Okay? Here's what I'm saying, and I'm going to quit preaching. I'm tired. We just got here. We're going to snack bar tonight? Not tonight. Okay. And we're going to get in bed. But I want you to listen to me. And I want to turn it over to Brother Brian here in a little bit and let him do what he wants to with it. But I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me real good. There is one way for you to get to heaven. There is one way only for you to have eternal life. If you don't do it this one way, you will die and go to hell forever. And I'm going to pray this week that God will lay a message in my heart about heaven and hell. I don't know if I'm going to preach that or not. But I'm telling you, I've studied hell from the Bible. You don't want to go there. You do not want to go there. I know people. I have gone to school with people that are there right now. And they went to hell when we were still in high school. And they're still there. And they're never getting out because they refuse to listen to the Bible tell them the one way to get to heaven. And it's real simple. Let me give you a verse. I'm just going to give you a verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The one way. So if you're here tonight, you've never been saved. You could be saved tonight. Call upon the name of the Lord. One of these adults to help you. You're here tonight. You say, you know what? I was 8 years old, 7 years old, 6 years old. I don't remember. But I want to make sure. I want to make sure tonight that when I die, I go to heaven and I do it God's way. This night is your night. Brother Brian, would you come? And if we're going to have music, let's have some music. And I'd like for you to every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. And I mean no one. I'm pretty serious on this part. If I see you look around, I'm going to stare at you. Because you don't need to know everybody else's business. And maybe you're here tonight and you don't want everybody knowing yours. So let's be real honest, okay? I promise you this week I'll be honest about me. I'm pretty honest about who I am. I'm not worth much. And so I'll tell you that this week. And I want you to be honest between you and me and God tonight, this week. So number one, let's start here. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. You would say, Preacher Mike, I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die, and I want to know. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Number two, Preacher Mike, maybe I got saved years ago. I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure. But God's been dealing with me about things in my life. And I want to know for sure that when I die, I go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Appreciate that. See, I didn't call anybody's name out. I didn't come stand by you and point you out. That's not my job. That's the job of the Holy Ghost to deal with your heart. And so tonight we're going to pray and we're going to have some songs. And tonight, please, let's not play around. Tonight, before anything else happens this week, why don't you come down here? Some of these old people pray with you. And you can know tonight whether or not you're saved. And you can know tonight whether or not you'll go to heaven. Just like I did 37 years ago. You can know it tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for bringing me down here. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a safe trip. And thank you for these young people. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, there's so many places where the Bible's not being preached and taught. And I thank you, dear God, Lord, that amongst these young people and in this place, God, with these pastors, I know the Bible's being taught. And Lord, Father, these young people, they've left their homes, they've left everything, Lord, left all the world. And they've come out here, Lord, to be alone with you. And I pray, God, that you would deal with them this week, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them like you've helped me so many times. Lord, these that raised their hand, God, I don't remember who they were, but you know. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would convict them, that you would touch their souls. And Lord, Father, you do what you want to do in this service tonight. Lord, if you have 20 come down here tonight or you don't have any, Lord, that's going to be your business. That's going to be your call. But Lord, you begin to deal and you begin to work in these young people, Lord, not just tonight, but 20 years down the road, you're still helping them and you're still dealing with them. Lord, just be with us tonight and bless this invitation. Bless this time of prayer tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. I'd like for you to stand to your feet. Brother Brian and sister's going to lead us in song and you sing with them. And if God's dealing with your heart, I want you to come. Somebody be down here to pray with you.